Order.
Returning from a short adjournment, the week in the House began with the Speaker, David Carter, confirming that he'd received letters of resignation from two National Party backbenchers, Aaron Gilmore and Jackie Blue. Both were List MPs, their seats filled by replacements from their party without need for a by-election.
I have been advised by the Electoral Commission that Paul Ayres Robert Foster Bell has been declared to be elected a member of the House of Representatives in place of Dr. Jacqueline Diane Blue.
Mr. Bell then made the affirmation confirming his allegiance to the Queen in English. Wednesday began with Aaron Gilmore's replacement, Claudette Hoiti, choosing to swear the oath of allegiance in Māori. They restored numbers in the House to 120, one down following the death of Labour's Parakura Horomia, creating a vacancy in the Māori seat of Ikaroa Rawiti, which can only be filled after a by-election. And then there was another resignation announced by the Speaker on Thursday.
I wish to advise the House that I have received a letter from Dr. David McGee, CNZMQC, resigning as an ombudsman with effect from Friday, 31 May.
The Clerk of the House for 22 years, David McGee's work during 6 years as an ombudsman included an investigation into secrecy surrounding the National-led government's introduction of charter schools, which, ironically, are exempt from the Official Information Act or investigation by the ombudsman of anything other than expulsions. But it was his investigation into bullying at the Hutt Valley High School that was highlighted by Labour's education spokesman Chris Hipkins when the Education Amendment Bill introducing charter schools staggered through its committee stage on Wednesday night.
It took an investigation by the Ombudsman to shed light on those very serious matters. And under this bill, under this Clause 43, the Ombudsman will not have the power to do that in relation to charter schools. And that is wrong.
Nevertheless, the bill emerged unchanged from the committee stage, supported by National, John Banks, Peter Dunn and the Māori Party. It's now ready for its third reading, the final stage, which the Criminal Procedure Legislation Bill reached this week when it was split into nine separate bills implementing the second National-led government's programme of court reforms, introduced to the House in October last year. They were the only bills passed this week while the House ploughed on through the budget debate, completing about 7 hours and leaving 5 hours and 22 minutes for next week. Meanwhile, question times were dominated by debate about children and poverty and included this announcement from Social Development Minister Paula Bennett on Tuesday.
Today we announced the government is putting $9.5 million over the next 5 years towards the Kickstart Breakfast Program in schools. This is in partnership with Fonterra and Sanitarium and will be matched in value by them. We have also announced we will increase our support to Kids Can, providing $1.5 million over 3 years to provide children with basic necessities like raincoats and shoes.
Paula Bennett's announcement was rewarded with applause from National and scorn from the opposition, to which she responded.
It's one thing to sort of harp from the other side, it's another to take action.
Paula Bennett's Cabinet colleague Judith Collins faced questions every day from Labour's Grant Robertson about her role in assisting Jackie Blue's move from National's backbench to the job of Equal Employment Opportunities Commissioner.
How many expressions of interest or nominations for the position of Equal Employment Opportunities Commissioner were received by the Ministry of Justice after the advertised deadline of 13 October 2012?
Mr. Honourable Speaker, Judith Collins.
Well, the member is wrong. There is no deadline. This is a ministerial appointment.
Mr. Carter described that answer as being unhelpful to the House.
I think it's pointless to ask the question to be repeated because I suspect we'll get the same answer. But on this occasion, I invite the member to have an additional 3 supplementaries if he so requires.
He did, and one of his questions got this response from Judith Collins.
Actually, what I would say to that member is that there was a report from the Ministry, but it didn't include the expression of interest that Dr. Blue had already received it. I just said that there was a report. Okay.
But there was no answer to this question on Thursday from New Zealand First Leader Winston Peters.
Why aren't the phone records, in which the evidence lies in this case, being asked of ministers and in particular Mr. Peter Dunn?
Although the United Future leader rejected the New Zealand First Leader's claim that he had leaked the Kitteridge report on the GCSB to the media, Mr. Peters said there was evidence to support his allegation.
I know I'm going to short-circuit things by saying all the evidence is in those phone records and your minister's gone.
I don't believe that's an adequate point of order at all.
Maybe not an adequate point of order, but nevertheless an interesting proposition, which Mr. Peters is bound to pursue when Parliament resumes for another week at 2 on Tuesday. I'm Tom Frewen, and this programme was brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.